guys. And
now here, Willie usually joins us for prayer Tuesday, and so they're part of another church, but they're also family here, and he's always here Tuesday. So honor you guys. Bless you. Thank you. I'm going to share some this morning. Sometimes it's hard for me to shift gears, but I'm going to do it. Let me just start off. I heard a neat story this week, and I was listening. There was a guy, you ever heard of Mickey Robinson? I never heard of him. He was a guy, he actually was in a plane crash. He shares his story. He was a successful young businessman in a plane crash. And it's really hot in here, by the way, so no one turned the heat on. Or I might be passing out. He was in a plane crash, and whatever happened, he had an out-of-body, he died. And he had, and I can't remember all the details, but there's a moment, and whatever the case, I don't want to speak because I don't know everything that happened. But he came back living for God, and God gave him a chance, obviously, and he's going on ministering. But he was sharing that he went to Asia, and he spoke in a conference, and there was thousands of people. There was pastors of churches with thousands of people there, and that was such a great thing for him. And he got on the airplane to go back. I think he was flying out of Seoul, South Korea, and he was flying back. And he said, my goal was to sleep for 15 hours. He said, I was knocked out. I wanted to sleep. And he said, there's a guy next to me. And immediately, if you ever fly and you know you don't want to deal with someone and you're there, you can't get away from them. They're there. And the guy was there. He said, hey, how are you? I was like, oh. He said, I'm doing fine. And put his mask back on. And he said, what are you doing here? And he says, I talk to people. And he put his mask back down. And the guy kept pressing him. He said, okay. He said, I went and I spoke. You know, a lot of times if you just throw out something spiritual. So he said, I spoke to a bunch of pastors in the area. That's what I do. I go around speaking. And the guy said, oh. And he said, you know, 4 days ago, if you said that to me, I probably would have avoided you the rest of the flight. He said, but each day I've been in this country, I think he was an Indian. He said, someone randomly has come up to me each day and said, you need to do something about your spiritual life. And he said, now I've got this. Long story short, he said the man has been searching for peace and truth in his life for 40 years. He ended up leading this Lord, speaking to this man on the flight. The guy connected him when they got back to the States. And said, you know, I gave my heart to Jesus. You know, everything's changed with me now. Thank you for your obedience. And he was saying, and it's a good reminder. He said, you know, I thought I was there, and the highlight of my trip was the thousands. And he said, you know, I was speaking to the thousands, and I had pastors there who pastored thousands. He said, but the highlight of my trip was this one guy on the airplane next to me when I wanted to go to sleep. And sometimes I think for me and for all of us, that's a good reminder. I always love the story of Mordecai Ham, the minister who was a big evangelist, and he was ministering, and he rarely went to small churches. He was at a small church. He was there having a crusade for a week. One person gave their heart to Jesus. One person was Billy Graham. And you imagine, you know, he probably thought, you know, that's a failure of a meeting. But one person, Billy Graham, who went out and touched thousands and countless thousands of people. And so you never know. Sometimes we just see the big. Maybe you're here just in the day-to-day moments of life. Never overlook the one, right? Yeah. And sometimes we get focused on, that's too small for me. Yeah. It's too small. Nothing's too small. Amen. So I heard that. I thought that was a cool story. I was going to share it with you. I do want to speak some more on Ephesians this morning. And just to kind of review last week, one thing I learned after I spoke last week, Lisa was here and said, you know what? Cows have four stomachs. And I didn't know that. And if you remember last week, I spoke on meditation, meditating on the Word of God, how you put on a way to put on the new man, and we chew and we chew. But even after we chew, that thing keeps processing within us, right? Yeah. And one of my verses this week was, and I just forgot my verse for the week. Oh yeah, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O God. And I had a moment this week when I was like, ah, and that verse came, and that's something, my wife said she was that stuck with her. It's just something, we think of meditation and we say, oh, we don't want anything to do with that, that's for the gurus, but the scripture's filled. Meditate on the word, meditate on the goodness of God, meditate on his precepts. And so we meditate and we chew on the word of God, and it becomes life within us, right? The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. So the more we meditate, the more it's real within us, and we can go out and actively do it. It becomes a part of who we are. We spoke about putting on righteousness, but I want to continue this week. If you want to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24 through 32. Ephesians 4, 24 through 32. It says, and we read some of this last week. And this is one of those messages, I'll be honest with you. I felt the Lord gave me something. And I was here this morning, and I, you know, one thing I search for, I don't want to just give message for message's sake, but I feel like each time I come in here, the Lord gives me a unique heart, His heart for something and someone, and I feel like that's the case this morning. I was in here, so I don't have a clue how it's going to come out, but I believe that what I have to share is for someone, and I feel that strongly. I just don't know how it's going to come out exactly. Verse 24 says, "In that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something good to him who is in need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you." There's a lot in that, and like I said, I'm not going to, I could spend forever in Ephesians, but we're not going to. I want to kind of give you a heart. If you remember, I spoke last week, we're exhorted to, and just stay with me for a minute, to put on the new man and put off the old, yet we're also told that the old man has been put away and the new man has been put on. And I have in Colossians chapter 3, you can just write this down. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "Put to death your members which are on the earth." It talks about putting off. And it says in verse 8, "Put off all these things." But in verse 9, it says that we have put off the old man. And in verse 10, it says that we have put on the new man. Yet in verse 12, it says to put on the new man. And sometimes we read scriptures and they're seeming contradictions. So we're told to put off the old way, or who we used to be, and put on the new man. Let me say this. As believers, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, become old things become new.
Amen.
I don't have two natures.
Amen.
I have one.
Yes.
It's the new man. Even if you look throughout Scripture, I won't do it this morning, but there's always two men in the Scripture. You look at, you know, Isaac and Ishmael, David and Saul. Saul who became Paul. There's a way after the flesh and a way after the Spirit. And as I come into relationship with Christ, I become a man of the Spirit, I become a new man. I am in Christ, I am a brand new creation. Okay? And so I say, you know, it's not that the Lord just, "I don't remember your sins." It's like, you never sin because you're a brand new person. And I step into something brand new. I am completely a new creation in Christ. And that's important. We don't have two natures, we have one. Yet at the same time, it's that thing where the prayer we went through, on earth as in heaven. And so something that's judicially true, the Lord expects us to walk it out experientially as well, right? I can say it till I'm blue, but there's an element in this whole book of Ephesians. It's sit, then walk, and then stand. And so I sit and I receive who I am, and then the Lord expects me to walk in who I am. Okay? And so I'm not trying to kill an old man that's already dead. I'm trying to develop the new man that's already in me, right?
Right.
And there's certain areas that we do that, and it's can be interesting to try to teach, but like I said last week, when we do that, it's meditation. As I meditate on the Word becomes a part of who I am, right? I can't operate an effective Christian ministry if I don't have a biblical background. If I'm not in this Word, I heard a minister one time say, if God of the universe put his mind in print, why in the world are we looking at everything else? And I saturate and meditate on this Word, it becomes, as I chew it, it becomes a part of who I am. And so, stay with me for a minute because I'm going somewhere. Sometimes I give preliminary stuff. Why are we, the whole notion of we study doctrine, I'm talking to Bob about this, there's the doctrine of man, who we are and why we're created, and there's a lot of different, if you look, there's like a sociological, people think we're just Andrew and I have a friend who's a sociologist, and you talk to this person, everyone's a group, this group, that group. You have some who think, you know, we're just psychological, it's just a product of your environment. Some, you know, if you have an atheistic mindset, we're just matter, you know, everything in me, I'm just hardwired, you know. But the Word of God teaches us that I am created after His image and according to His likeness, right? Amen. So I'm created to be like Him. And if, what a theologian would say is that we're called to reflect Him in the earth, right? According to, in Ephesians, it says that you put on the new man created according to God. Genesis talked about being created according to His image and His likeness. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, it says, "And we have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him." In Genesis, when Seth was born, it said he was created after the image of his father. My children, created after the image of me. We're God breathed within us because we're called to reflect Him and be like Him. Amen? He's the head, we're the body, but we're called to be like Him. And I was thinking, you know, all of you know we have three children. And Owen and Anna, we get this from our family a lot. They look like Andrea and her family. Well, Evan's a Lockridge boy. He looks like a Lockridge. And so we, you know, my parents, they sent me a picture of my great-grandfather. And everyone thinks, oh, he looks just like my great-grandfather. Now imagine if we had my great-grandfather's face on Evan's body right now. It wouldn't be a good sight, would it? Evan looks like him, and he's growing that way. But the head, who's the head? We've seen it in Ephesians. Christ is the head. We are the body. So if He's the head and we're the body, we're called to grow and put on the new man so that it's a mature body under a mature head. Does that make sense? I don't want my great-grandfather in heaven right now. We're called to grow. And as a body, one way, and if you look at this passage, one thing it's doing, it's not just saying, don't do this, don't do that, don't. It's that, but it's also saying to give. And I'm going to go through that in a minute. For everything we do, we also put on by doing. And as believers, and just to stay with me, he says, put away lying. It's not just don't lie. It's also, in each one, speak the truth with his neighbor. Amen. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. It says, let him who steal no longer. So it's not just don't steal, but it's also let you labor with your hands that you may have something to give. You understand where we're at right now? Grace, it gives. Remember we talked about grace, it's giving what you don't deserve. So it's not just stay away from the bad, it's also do. It's putting off the old man, putting on the new man. Does that make sense? And so as a body, we are called, every one of us are called, because we have something to give. Right?
Amen.
I am called when I put on my new man. I'm walking, and I'm doing, and I'm giving. I've said this example before, it's just very applicable to me. I used to lift weights a lot. And when you stop lifting weights, like I have now, it atrophies. If your body, we are the body of Christ. And if I just say, Lord, I just want to receive, and I never begin to walk and act and move, what happens to us as part of the body? We atrophy. And so you could have a big muscle now, and then you don't. You're not used. If someone just lays in the bed all day, their mind can be sharp as a whip, but their body's going to atrophy, and they're going to be, I don't want to get up. I don't want to do this. We're called to receive, yes, but we're also called to give, right? That's who we are. We've seen a lot in Ephesians. You're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Not you will be, you are.
Amen.
Okay, you are holy and without blame. Not you will be, but you are. You are right. Remember what I said last week too, and I found that old tape when I gave my heart to Jesus. I'm no more righteous today than I was 24 years ago when I did it. I am righteous. I'm not going to be because I'm in Christ. I am. So if you think all that we have... It should be a natural expression and outflow of who we are to give, right? Have you ever been in any kind of relationship at all, I'm just talking about just anything, and you're the only one who does the giving, that's exhausting, right? It's not much of a relationship. There's giving, and there's constant giving, receiving, and giving. I want to read something to kind of, I guess, set the stage and kind of what I'm going to share on. My wife found something on Facebook, and I thought it was excellent. She showed it to me yesterday. I was like, hey, I like that. And one of her friends put it. I don't know who's the author of it. But it says, you are holding a cup of coffee when someone comes along and bumps into you or shakes your arm, making you spill your coffee everywhere. Why did you spill the coffee? Well, because someone bumped into me, of course. So that's the wrong answer. You spilled the coffee because there was coffee in your cup. Had there been tea in your cup, you would have spilled the tea. Whatever is inside the cup is what will spill out. Therefore, when life comes along and shakes you, which it will, whatever is inside comes out. It's easy to fake it until you get rattled. So we have to ask ourselves, what's in my cup? When life gets tough, what spills over? Joy, gratefulness, peace, humility, or anger, bitterness, harsh words, and reactions. And I thought that was excellent. And so my wife got hooked on coffee, and I treated myself and got a chestnut praline latte on Friday. And it was heaven in my mouth. But I don't like tea, like the herbal tea, so I like the coffee's good. I don't know why I shared that. But whatever the case, whatever's inside of you is what comes out. And the whole thing of this, the hardest thing in the world to do is try to be a Christian. It's the impossible lifestyle. It should be lived naturally from the Spirit-led life that's when I'm governed by my Spirit, like I shared some last week, and I do things like meditate on the Word of God, my actions become natural, right? The more I look to Him, we talk about being transformed. It's a change that happens inside. It's natural. That's the way God designed us. Not to work and try really hard, because that's the most frustrating thing in the world. But when it comes out naturally, that's what the Lord is asked for us to do. I want to look at a couple of verses, and I'm going to try to do the best I can with it. And let me say this too. Just add this. Our life and our relationship, it's centered. We need to preach a Christ-centered gospel rather than a man-centered gospel. Okay? And I've given the analogy before. It's like the earth and the sun. All life on earth is here because of its relationship scientifically to the sun. Okay? I think if the sun moves some or the earth, it just falls apart. In our walks with God, all of our life is in relationship to our relationship with the Son of God. In Him we live and move and have our being. He has to take the... Paul wrote in Colossians that in all things He may have the preeminence. And sometimes when things start to center just around me, it can become false. I have to have Him as a focus, and that go along with what I shared in a minute. But it says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak the truth to his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Who is the truth? And I always love the passage when Pilate looks at Jesus and says, what is truth? And he's looking square in the face at Jesus. What's truth? It's not just don't lie, it's speak truth. And it says, grieving the Holy Spirit of God, says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. You can give this to 10 different guys. They're going to teach you 10 different ways. I'm going to share what I felt the Lord gave me, that it may impart grace to the hearers. I was listening. One of the Bill Johnson has a statement. It's his, not mine. And I love it. He says, we don't stumble over... I wrote it down because I don't want to misquote him. Okay. It says, are we celebrating who they are, or we celebrate people for who they are and not stumble over who they're not? And so in our relationship with others, how do we relate to others? Kevin was speaking something about words this morning. Sometimes, and it says that words that impart grace. Remember, what is grace again? Grace is, James stole my hamburger. He deserves to go to jail. I'm not going to send him to jail. That's mercy. You're not going to give judgment. Grace is, I'm not going to buy you another, five guys' meal. It's giving what you don't deserve. In our lives and how we interact and how we deal and how we talk to people, we have to see them for who they are in Christ, not for what I might see with my naked eye and what's going on I feel that there's a story I want to share, and it was something in my life, and James also speaks. He says, out of our mouth comes blessing and cursing. These things should not be. How are we speaking to others in the body of Christ? How are we speaking to others outside of the body of Christ? There's an example in my life, and there's nobody in this church. There's no one anyone here knows, no one in my family. And this was an individual who, I'll say this, I don't know if it was intentional or not, but really hurt me. And has everyone here ever been hurt? It hurt me. And it might not have been intent, but it was someone, you know, there's a relationship with there, and slighted me, whatever. But initial reaction rose up of, what do you think? It's just like what's inside of my cup. It's that nasty tea. It's not the chestnut praline. And the nasties come up inside of me. So I am a new man. The old man's gone. Yet there's still some stuff. You know, when I was in Pinecrest, we called it school of the spirit. And everyone has their own school. And there's some areas in our life where the Holy Spirit knows the button to push. And it says that if we're being pruned, if we're bearing fruit, He'll prune us so we bear more fruit. Amen. And there's sometimes in our life where we say, Lord, what is this? Why is this happening? Why is this annoying me? Why is this getting on me? A lot of times, it's easy to point the finger at everyone else, but really it's the Holy Spirit pushing a button. And He says, I know that this is going to produce something. And you see what comes out, and He says, I don't like this. And so this person did something to me, and I didn't like it. And so how did I react? And I'll be honest, the Lord dealt with me for some time, and how I handled it is this way. I'm just giving an example. It's easier because I can give my own examples. And how I dealt with it, I sent the individual an email. And what did I do? I blessed them in the email. I can't remember all I put, but I did not let corrupt communication proceed out of my mouth. I didn't stumble over as though I said who they weren't. I celebrated who they were in Christ, because it was a brother in Christ. And I began to bless, and I began to honor. And there's a different, there's a distance there, so I had to do it that way. Do not let the sun, for we are, and it says, speaking, putting grace. Did that individual, in Christ, they deserve it. But in the natural, we have a tendency, especially in our American society, that if you hit me, I'm going to hit you back, right? Hit me, I'm going to get you back. And that's the opposite of how the kingdom of God it works and how it is. Kingdom of God, if you hit me, if you curse me, my natural reaction should be, and if it's not, we're getting there, the Holy Spirit's help, is to bless. I missed it recently. I remember I was in, I won't give you the name of the business because it was in Westerly. The worst customer service I've ever had. Just the guy was just mean. He actually told me, I came in to do something, said, go to somewhere else. And I was sitting, I just looked at him, I said, you're kidding me. And I missed it. I was so stunned and upset. And I walked out and I said, you know, I missed it. What if I just started blessing that man? Imagine, he might not have received it, but the atmosphere that could change just to bless someone who curses or who speaks bad. Amen? And a lot of times what happens in our walk with God, well, help me with the door maybe. Just kidding. Okay. A lot of times what happens in our walk with the Lord is there's some things inside of us that get in there that's not of the Lord, and the Lord desires to change that and shift that. So let no corrupt communication proceed out of their mouth. Am I speaking, you know, I could look at everyone and it's tempting to do and find fault and problems in each and every person. But what if I started doing this, especially in the household of God, and I start honoring James, you're a man of God, you're raising a godly daughter, your marriage is a witness and a testimony to your family, and I should start blessing and honoring people and calling them who they are in Christ, right? Amen. Now, I love you, I have no, let's say I didn't really think that. Amen. I'm still going to call forth and prophesy who they really are in Christ rather than what I see with my naked eye, right? And speak, let no corrupt word. There's a guy preaching, and he's a minister, he's itinerant, and he goes, he said, I was flying on a plane one day, he was going down to Florida to minister, and he said, I was going down there, and the Lord said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. And he said, Lord, what do you mean? I've been saying stuff I shouldn't say. He said, every time you get up in the pulpit and start telling people everything that they're not, rather than who they are, we're trying to develop the new man. You know what? You might not be, but you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are. and we speak that, I might not see it. Maybe someone offends me and hurts me, but I'm going to call them and bless them and speak to their purpose and potential and their destiny in God. Amen. And that salvages a lot. Let me go forward with something else. There's a passage in here, and it says, in verse 32, and it says, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as Christ also forgave you." Okay. It's about 2 years ago, I devoted a whole message to this, and I'm not going to do that this morning, obviously. As believers, do we keep short accounts with others in the body of Christ? I'm going to speak in a minute of something I shared, bitterness, judgments, and vows. But there's a parable, and I love it. It's in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 through 35. And I'm going to read it. And it says, you don't have to turn there, but it's Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 through 35. And it says, "Then Peter came to him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?' Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with a servant. And when he began to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Keep track of that word, 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children, all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' The master was moved, then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him and forgave him from the debt." That sounds a lot like what Christ did to us, right? Amen. He released us from the debt. "But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Keep that in mind too. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt that you begged of me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?' And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So the Heavenly Father will also do, if you do not forgive each one from your heart, forgive his brother his trespasses." That was long, but I spoke about this before. If you study this and if you look at it, the master forgave 10,000 talents. The servant who was forgiven, released from his debt, someone owed him 100 denarii. And I can't remember the exact specifications. I read it, but the dollar amount is a significant difference. One was forgiven from a whole lot. Has anyone been forgiven for a whole lot? And the notion, I gave this example when I spoke here. I work in billing and stuff, and I used to work for a big hospital agency in Virginia, and we would see people's bills all the time. And sometimes there would be if you don't have insurance and you go to an inpatient stay, you're going to be looking at six figures. And other people have like $100. And I was thinking, imagine if you owe a hospital $200,000 for a week there, and you can't pay it, because most of us couldn't just pay that right away, and you can't pay it, and someone comes along and says, "Don't worry, I'm taking care of it, it's off your plate, I'm paying it for you." It sounds a lot like what the Lord did for us, right? Yeah. It doesn't matter, I'm paying for you. And then we find the guy, and James owes me, convenient Target again, you owe me $100, and you hadn't paid me back $100, and I was forgiven $200,000, but he hasn't paid me $100, and I say, "Man, you know what, I'm taking you, and I'm going to throw you in prison for that. You haven't paid me." Could you imagine kind of how that looks and how that is? So is we not forgive our brother his trespasses. I've been forgiven much. I'm going to do this briefly this morning because I feel the time and some restlessness. There's something I shared on as well, and bitterness, judgments, and vows. And I'm going to be brief with it and not give it the full attention it deserves. Bitterness, judgments, and vows. Hebrews says, do not allow any root of bitterness to come within us, right? Mm-hmm. These are things, and when I'm talking about this, these are things, it's like what's inside you spills out. These are things that corrupt us from living the Christ life that he's called us to live. Because things that just come out automatically, that he pushes, is for us to look at so we can begin to walk in who he's called us to be. Okay? And there's an example, there's several examples. Here's how I came up with a way to put it, because I have an example, we heard it before, but I don't have all the things, so I don't want to do it. Let's say this, and I'm not doing this for anyone in here, I'm just going to give a pastor example in a church, because this is something that happens often. Let's say you're in a church 20 years ago, and your pastor really, really, really does something really nasty to offend you, right? Hurts you. If you're not careful, what's going to happen there? Root of bitterness comes in, right? He missed, why did he do this? Let's say he didn't honor you for being a volunteer or something. I don't know. He didn't honor you for being a volunteer. Why did he do that? And the bitterness. And we're not careful. That stuff starts to seep down and take root within us. And we harbor bitterness. We come around him. We lash out. We react rather than act in love, right? It's bitterness. It's not dealt with. It's not dealt with. Then we go to the next place because we don't like this guy anymore. And then we start putting judgments on folks. Well, you know, that's just how pastors are. Again, I'm not saying this on my own, I'm just giving an example. I've seen this in the church. That's just how pastors are. You know, James is the pastor. He didn't honor me. Well, that's just how they are. All of them are this way. You have to be careful. You know, he said that's just the way they are. And then I start putting judgments on people, right? So a root of bitterness has turned into judgment. And then I start judging someone innocently. I start judging, you know, you don't honor people. You don't do this. You don't do that. Because I was hurt back here. I never forgave it. And then what happens if that's not dealt with? I'm giving you a brief synopsis of it. If that's not dealt with, we begin to make inner vows in our heart. Okay? What does that mean? An inner vow is, you know, I have bitterness in me, and then next guy, he does the same thing. He doesn't honor me. He forgets to honor me. So I'm passing. All pastors are this way. They're just this way. And then I go to the next place. And the guy doesn't do anything wrong, but it's something I perceive as a slight. And I make a vow, and a vow says, I will never allow, James is a pastor, I will never allow another pastor to hurt me for the rest of my life. I will not do it. And so he does something, we begin to look for the root of bitterness and the judgment. We begin to look for it in everyone who fits that mold. This could be a mother, it could be a father, it could be a spouse. And the story I heard was a spousal one. And what do we end up doing? I make a vow. I will not get hurt. And so there's immediate walls. First perceived slight. What do? I break relationship. That's an inner vow. I've made a vow. He's not going to hurt me again. And so I cut him out. And all the while, there's a passage in Corinthians. And it says, we talked about forgiving. And it says, let Satan should take advantage of us. If there's unforgiveness going on, ultimately, that breaks relationship. In Ephesians, it says, for we are members of one another, right? Yes?
Yes.
We're members of one another. The kingdom of God is about relationship. And so what can happen in our lives if this, what pushed you, whatever comes out, the forgiveness issue, I haven't forgiven the first guy from 3 churches ago. He upset me. I got bitter. I never forgave him. I never went to him. And I went to the next guy, and I had judgments on him, and he did the same thing, and I was so mad, and never dealt with the bitterness. I never forgave that. And then I start making vows, and I eliminate relationships before they have the opportunity to begin. Why? Because I never forgave the pastor from 3 churches ago that's living rent-free inside of me with that bitter root. Amen? How many times do we do this? This is if the church is to grow up, he's full head, we don't want to have my great-grandfather's head on him. There's a way when I deal, and no one's perfect at this, the situation I'm talking about when I emailed that guy, I could have let that, you know what, there's and the guy I emailed, there's a relationship now. If I had never done that, the Lord let me do that to share on it. If I'd never done that, that relationship, which is beneficial and fruitful for me now, would have been severed because I'm not going to allow, he hurt me, he did this, and I put up an inner vow, I'm not going to allow that to happen again. So I cut off fellowship. Do you know what? In the body of Christ, I say this too, we are a priest of God. I can go to God on my own. I don't have to have you. I don't have to have Pete and Andrew lead worship for me. You know, I can meet God on my own, but I'm also dependent upon the body. Okay? Imagine if I've got a huge hand and a baby hand over here. Or something. We have to walk in unison. I'm not talking about just this, but the body as a whole. There has to be a process of forgiveness and dealing with things in the body of Christ. How do we put on the new man? How do we put off the old man? If the Spirit of God comes and pushes your button because there's something going on in there, that's a good thing. Because it means that you're producing fruit. And the Lord says, I don't want you to have this problem. Let Satan take advantage of us, for we're not unaware of our schemes. That's 2 Corinthians. I can't remember where it's at. 2 Corinthians somewhere. But it talks about forgiveness when he's doing that. That's a simple thing we don't often preach because we have a hard time with it. Keep short accounts with people. That's walking in the new man. Did he keep a short account with us when we came to him? Amen. Gracious sakes, yes he did. Because if he didn't, I'd be in bad shape. And so if he showed grace to me and gave me what I did not deserve, my speech and my actions towards others should be full of grace. And if that's not flowing out of me naturally, then Spirit of God, I need you to come so this can flow out of me naturally and I can walk in who you've called me to be as the new man in Christ, right? So what's true of me in the heavens can be true of me here in the earth as well, right? It's not enough just to, I have to walk it as well. And I'm going to end with this because I've been a bit long-winded. Let me say this at the end. Our walk extends everywhere in our life, right? Yes. One more thing. I was listening. It was a panel this week, and I'm almost done. And it was the guy I was just sharing. I'm going to honor him, Bill Johnson. And he was an hour and a half. Was with some other guys. And he spoke for maybe 10 minutes. And I was telling my wife the words. He just carried such weight. I said, "Well, But he said, you know, someone asked him, "Well, how do you create this in your church, whatever?" He said, "You know, I can't do it there in my church if it's not working at home." He said, "In home, I honor my wife. I serve my family. I speak life to my children." Don't say, "You little hellions." I said, "You're the righteousness of God." I forgot to tell you, Owen got a new Bible. He wanted me to announce it. He's reading his Bible now. So I speak life into my children. First ministry is at home, support my children. And then it flows over naturally into the church. And then it flows naturally over into our community. It just becomes a way of life, who we are. Honoring, forgiving, loving, blessing. Amen?
Amen.
This has to work. The old preacher said, if it doesn't work in the dirt, I don't want it. If I can't put it on shoe leather and walk it out, Lord, you've forgiven me. Lord, you've spoken great things to me. And I start to walk it out and honor my day-to-day life. That's what it's all about. Amen?
Amen.
And let me say this, that the last thing I go, eternity issues go everywhere in life. We need to have a perspective of eternity. Fruitful people are givers. Amen?
Amen.
I am to be, and I'm not just talking about finances now. I'm talking about the substance of who you are as a believer. Everyone in here has something to give. If I'm fruitful as a believer, I have something to give. And I can never lose sight, just like I started the story with, of the perspective of eternity, that I have a responsibility. In the kingdom of God, you have responsibility, don't you not?
Yeah.
I have responsibility. Everywhere I go, every place I go, you know, when I go to work, I don't care if they know the Lord or not, I'm going to honor my boss, I'm going to speak well. I'm not going to get, because I've done this before, and I start getting over to this guy and criticizing. I told you the story one time. The lady I was working with was constantly criticizing leadership at my work. And I said, I'm not going to do it. And I kept getting around and I started doing it. It's like, oh, no. No, I'm going to reverse that curse and bless my leadership. I'm going to bless the folks I'm with. And I have a perspective. I never lose my perspective of eternity. And at each step I take, each day I live, there's something for me that resonates and lives on in eternity. Amen?
Amen?
Keep the pipes clean in your life. Okay? Walking, like I said, sometimes it deals with character. Because what you are is what comes out. Doing flows out of being. Walk in the character and the nature that Christ has put within you. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. I'm going to close. I have more. I'm going to close. But Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for, Lord, that when you push our buttons and when you knock us and the coffee spills, Lord, you do that because you love us. Lord, you do that because there's something within us, because we're called to be givers, and you want us to give out the Christ life to others, Jesus. Lord, we love you. I honor you. I thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you for this people, Lord. I just ask that you bless us this week. And Lord, that we become a blessing to others this week during Thanksgiving. We love you, we bless you, and we honor you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. 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 You guys be blessed. There's tons of food down there. Kevin left from the service last night, so go down and enjoy. Amen.